Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we welcome you in. And we hope to help you just digest what's going on with some sense of reality and hope for the future. Although that's dwindling, I know. So apparently there are no men left in Sarah Palin's family or in her house. And so now she feels it necessary to lash out and afflict us all with yet another outburst of politics by Sarah Palin. The politics of an elderly teeny bopper, once again. Please, Sarah, don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass the country any further. Don't drag your family through that. Really? What are you going to do? Yes, she's back. And Venezuela, by the way, for all of you young people who support socialism, Venezuela raised the minimum wage by almost 2,000% in one day. The minimum wage is now approaching $1 a day. Wow. So for all of you fans, all of you millennial fans of socialism, $15 an hour now, livable wage. Okay. Anyway, that's where it all leads, okay? So you silly children. All right. But let's get into more serious. We're walking by a French cafe in a local community, and a man and his wife came around the corner, the man walking a dog, the woman wearing an N95 mask up over her nose and mouth and below her chin in fine, regulatorily compliant fashion, and the husband was walking the dog, and he was trying to put his mask on. So he's got one hand holding the dog. He's got one hand trying to manipulate two ear loops of a face mask. And so as the wife approached, I looked her in the face and I said, right in her face and general direction, which I'm going to start doing more of that. Because in my opinion, if you're wearing a mask around me, you're wearing it to imply that I am somehow infectious. And so if you're going to imply that, then I am going to assert that it's distinctly possible that I am by coughing on you and hopefully hitting you with some spittle. Just a little bit of spittle. All right, speaking of spittle, let's go to the drug test file where Kamala Harris checks in. Yes, once again, Kamala Harris is in the news. Why? Well, because she is a stuttering, blubbering fool. She met with the Jamaican Prime Minister at the White House last week. Imagine that. Kamala Harris meeting other national leaders in the White House. This is the same White House where Abraham Lincoln slept. This is embarrassing. Why do I say that? Well, here's what Kamala said. I don't know if she said this to the Jamaican Prime Minister or about the Jamaican Prime Minister or just in the general vicinity of the Jamaican Prime Minister. But let us hope that the Jamaican Prime Minister didn't hear any of this. And let us lament the fact that microphones picked this up at all. Here is Kamala Harris, quote, "We also recognize, just as it's been in the United States for Jamaica, one of the issues that has been presented as an issue that is economic in the way of its impact has been the pandemic. So, to that end, we are announcing today also that we will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to what I believe is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy." Unquote. At which point, someone should have called for a drug test. One of those rapid, swab. I don't know. Somebody should have requested a drug test at that point. This is the Vice President of the United States. And I know that the Vice President has always been, it's a bit of a joke, a gig that you get in Washington, second fiddle, a little dim, you know, all of that. But still, this is taking it to an extreme. When the sitting Vice President speaks in gibberish, speaking a foreign language using English words, this is troublesome and problematic. It's no wonder that the Chinese are just licking their chops and just waiting for the moment to pounce. Well, actually, that moment's already passed, so we'll get to some of that a little bit later. But first, we have to check in with the science. Really? File. Where, once again, it's been announced that scientists have finally finished decoding the entire human genome. Big banner headline on CBS News. Yes, scientists have finally decoded the genome. No. And don't ask any questions and don't look too closely at the words in the article, because just follow the science. In fact, that's all we should read is the headline. And you should just shut up. But no, we're going to be a little. Now, if you'll remember, and maybe you don't. If you're younger, you might not recall that Bill Clinton announced in 1999, maybe early 2000, Bill Clinton announced at the White House that we had decoded the human genome. That was 22 years ago now. And now there's another headline saying they've finally done it. Yes, CBS reports that scientists say they have finally assembled the full genetic blueprint of human life. That's right. It's the first ever sequencing of a complete human genome. And it's been published in the journal Science. I'm sorry, the journal Science. Which is kind of degenerated to the level of a laughing stock type of periodical. I mean, the journal Science, really. That's what it should be called, the journal Science. Really is what it should be called. Let's see. They report on the previous effort celebrated across the world by Bill Clinton from the White House was incomplete. That's right. But this one they're reporting is the decoding of the entire human genome. Evan Eichler, University of Washington researcher, says it took 20 plus years, but we finally got it done. And many, including Eichler's own students, thought it had been finished already. Why? Because that's what Eichler had been teaching them. Eichler says, I was teaching them, and they said, wait a minute, isn't this like the sixth time you guys have declared victory in decoding the human genome? This is his students. They're like, wait a minute, professor. And he says, no, this time we really, really did it. But nobody believes anything anymore. And are only sure that we can never know anything for sure. That's the only thing they're sure of. And that's what they teach their students, that the one thing you can be certain of is that you can't actually know anything. So, but please believe me on this one. The first draft of the human genome, this according to CBS, was announced in the White House ceremony in 2000. Yeah, we remember all that. Now listen to this, kids. The human genome is made up of about 3.1 billion DNA subunit pairs of chemical bases known by the letters A, C, G, and T. Genes are strings of these lettered pairs that contain instructions for making proteins, the building blocks of life. Humans have about 30,000 genes organized in 23 groups called chromosomes that are found in the nucleus of every cell. Now that's a fact. What I just read there is a fact. And the people, by the way, who are purporting to tell you today that they've decoded all this genetic information, these are the same people that insist that nothing exploded a long, long time ago and constructed all of this by accident. Hence, we have to decode it because of the accidental and all of that. By the way, this decoding of the human genome, is reported in this story as incomplete because they haven't actually decoded a Y chromosome. And I'll link to the story so that you can get all the details. It's a bit much to go into here on a radio broadcast. Or what do we call this now? Spoken word podcast? I don't know. I like to call it broadcasting. I like to call it the spoken word. I don't think radio is dead. I don't think everything has to go to video. I mean, what's the point in seeing a guy sit there with headphones on speaking into a microphone? I know. Well, whatever. Anyway, I'll link to the story because it's science. Really? Okay. Now, we go from gibberish to the genome, and then we'll move on into the news that I've been teasing my extremely attractive audio engineer with all week. I've been teasing this story all week to see if my extremely attractive audio engineer would notice the story. And so far, she has not. And so I get to spring this story on America's most attractive audio engineer right here, live, in real time. Drum roll, please. Fox News has announced that Caitlyn Jenner will be joining Fox News as a contributor. You never heard it, did you? Huh. This came out early in the early last week.
You think I watched the commercial?
We thought there would be an announcement on Tucker Carlson, but Tucker, for whatever reason, has neglected to point this one out. Hmm. Oddly enough, Fox News announced Caitlyn Jenner as a CEO. No, I'm sorry, not as the CEO. It gets rather confusing. CEO Suzanne over at Fox News announced that Caitlin, well, let's just go. We have a quote from the CEO, Suzanne. She says, quote, Caitlin's story is an inspiration to us all. She's a trailblazer in the LGBTQ plus community, and her illustrious career spans a variety of fields that will be a tremendous asset for our audience here at Fox News. Unquote. Okay, Caitlin's, okay, listen to this. Her career spans a variety of fields that will be an asset. That's just bad grammar. So the executive CEO at Fox News can't even speak the English language in announcing that a man dressed as a woman is now going to be a conservative commentator on America's conservative news source. Fox News, this is from Fox News. They go on to report that... but by the way, we're going to drop Caitlin. We're just going to go with Bruce. For some reason, I feel compelled to go with Bruce. Bruce is a former California gubernatorial candidate who ran as a Republican, which is, of course, why he's going to be on Fox News dressed as a woman. Bruce is going to provide analysis across Fox News platforms, beginning with an appearance on Hannity. So Hannity did the announcement. Okay. Now, forever now known as Trannity. Tune in. Get Trannitized. Oh, that's just... we have a quote from Bruce. I'm humbled by... No, it's Bruce. Bruce. Quote from Bruce. Do we have tape? Does Bruce try to affect a female voice? I haven't heard Bruce talk because when Bruce comes on the TV or anything, I have to turn the channel to avoid getting sick, and so I've just never listened. Bruce says he's humbled to speak directly to Fox News millions of viewers about a range of issues mostly regarding deviant sex and mental illness. But issues that are nevertheless important, Jenner said. Fox News goes on in this article with a straight face to actually say the following. Jenner has been in the public eye for decades, becoming a household name during the 1976 Summer Olympics. But Caitlin wasn't the household name. It wasn't, but we're not supposed to notice that. We're supposed to go along as if Caitlyn Jenner was the one running the decathlon. That was it. It was the whole time. So Fox News insists that we read this story without any hint or implication that something is awry. And this is yet another Marxist humiliation exercise that Fox is participating in and then forcing upon the rest of us. Fox News goes on without a hint of any irony or that anything is out of place. And they say she has emerged as arguably the most influential transgender woman in the world. And her ties to the GOP have irked others in the LGBTQ plus community. And then they close by reminding us painfully that Bruce has established the Caitlyn Jenner Foundation, named after the girl that he dresses up to be. And the Caitlyn Jenner Foundation aims to promote equality and combat discrimination by providing grants to help with anti-bullying, suicide prevention, health care, housing, employment, and anything else you might ever need. Caitlyn's got it all. And it's coming to Fox News. So the Caitlyn Jenner Foundation is Bruce Jenner's version of a church. That's right. And he plays both a god and a woman. Uh-huh. Yes. And hopefully at some point from at least one of these, he will recant. Weekly Worldview. I am Doug McBurney, your host. By the way, Bruce Jenner has six children. Six children, none of which he delivered to his dismay. Okay. So there you have it. Fox News, again, another signpost along the highway to hell. Now let's get to serious news from the impending doom file. We check in with ifstudies.org. who did a report this past week on the rise of TikTok. He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer, "Are you familiar with TikTok?" She's not. Well, are you aware of the fact that for at least 100 years, the idea of TikTok was the nomenclature for impending doom? Yeah, it's supposed to imply that like a timer and a bomb is about to go off. And so the Chinese Communist Party launched an app called TikTok that allows people to share videos, allegedly. And TikTok is now the world's most downloaded app. It's the world's number one most visited website, ahead of Google and Facebook. And every day, more than a billion different videos are viewed on TikTok. And TikTok employs a unique algorithm that starts monitoring what you watch as soon as you log in and create your profile and give TikTok all of your personal information. It takes note of the videos you watch, and then it hones your preferences and starts recommending videos to you that it thinks you will like. Within hours or even minutes, according to ifstudies.org, your videos become more specific and more tuned to your particular interests. One common refrain among young people these days is, quote, "TikTok can, like, read my mind," unquote. And apparently TikTok can be addictive. Psychiatrists worldwide, psychologists have been noting and reporting. Psychiatrist, psychologist, something like that. Something having to do with the study of the psyche. Those are head shrinkers. They have been making note of what might once have been called mass hysteria. And today they prefer the term social media induced illness. Girls who post videos on TikTok soon discover that their online popularity is linked to their sexuality. So you start an app that allows people to shoot and share videos about each other, to and from each other, and it rapidly degenerates into a sexual cesspool. Shocking. And so the authors at, and this is dangerous. This is the impending doom file. TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. So what's a parent to do about TikTok? Ask the authors at ifstudies.org. Is the headline, by the way, is TikTok dangerous for teens? So what's a parent to do about TikTok? First, they recommend that you have a frank conversation with your daughters and your sons about the dangers of TikTok. No child under 13, they say, should be on any social media, including TikTok. Parents must limit, govern, and guide their teens' use of apps like TikTok. And then they go on to recommend a numerous monitoring apps, parental monitoring apps, that will help you to govern, guide, and regulate your teenager's consumption of deviant sexual pornographic material. We have a different tack here at the McBurney compound. Don't make it so your kids can't watch TikTok. Make it so they won't. Only a child raised with the fear of God stands a chance against the onslaught of the social media world, the world in general. And even then, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that your kid will not be consumed, chewed up, and spit out the bottom by the world's insatiable appetite to molest their minds and their bodies. There's no guarantee, even if you raise a kid in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So, my advice, number one, fear God. That's my first piece of advice to parents. Number two, homeschool your kids. Don't put your kids in the government schools where they're going to interact with other little deviant perverts and exchange videos on TikTok. And number three, eliminate the possibility of worshiping human beings by mocking the concept of the ideal. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as an ideal human. Nobody's got it made. Nobody's living it up. Everyone's a mess. Everyone's weird. Everyone's strange. I mean, of course, except us here at the McBurney Comp. Everyone else is pretty much. And even we have our moments of doubt. So that's my advice. Anyway, my kids will be my testimony as to what to do, what I did, and what I suggest you do. My children will be my testimony. Your children will be your testimony. Your life will be your testimony, and your children will be your testimony. So I pray that you won't participate. In fact, that brings me to this week's contribution from the Alaska Bureau, where he sent me, it's the Alaska Bureau. It's a big office up there. They sent us the research this week surrounding, the big story is one guy slapping another guy. And neither of these particular guys were ever anything more in my mind than just evidence for the decline of Western civilization in general. I mean, the first guy was a fifth-rate musician who got a record deal, even though he couldn't play any instruments. And then he turned into a B-list TV actor, and then I think he just hung around show business until its decline eventually elevated him to star status. That's the first guy. The other guy, as far as I can recall, was about the fifth attempt of the Antichrist to replace Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live with another black guy who was funny. You know, the Antichrist, Lorne Michaels, over there at Saturday Night Live. So this guy was like the fifth or sixth attempt, and he was so unfunny that the producers at Saturday Night Live, they finally just gave up and settled for that pedestrian list of nobodies right up to whoever it is now who's the unfunny black guy on the show now.
If, he was in Saturday Night Live?
I think so. Okay. I think he was. Okay. So if that show's even still on, I mean, if there are even shows anymore, are there even shows anymore? If there is a Saturday Night Live still, there's an unfunny black guy filling anyway. I remember laying in the top bunk in my barracks at some point. I would think this was around 1987, not to date myself or anything. But I'm laying in the top bunk and I'm hearing these strange sounds come from the Walkman of the Marine in the bunk underneath me. And when there was a break and he took the headphones off, I said, "What are you listening to?" He said, "I'm listening to DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince." And I said, "Isn't your name DePietro? And aren't you like a white guy from New Jersey? You're listening to rap music? Is that right?" I was like, "The Fresh Prince? Isn't that guy aware that there's already a guy who calls himself Prince? And he can play all the instruments. And you're listening. What is this?" I was shocked. That was when I knew that my career in the military was going to introduce me to people from far-flung lifestyles to which I was not accustomed at all. To see a white guy named DePietro listening to rap, that was pretty weird. So anyway, the Alaska Bureau sent me some story that someone wrote about this incident where the one fifth-rate guy slapped the other sixth-rate guy. And I'm not going to read from the article because I couldn't get past the byline of the author. This is an article talking about behavior. Let's not forget to talk about like the system that helped create it. That's the headline. written by Maya Nigel Hoskins. Maya Nigel Hoskins. And the website from which I'll post to this so that you can torture yourself with it. The byline reads, "Maya Nigel Hoskins is a contributor providing provocative views on racism, pop culture, and mental health, diversity, equity, and inclusion." At which point you just wanna put a rope around your neck and throw it up over a beam and just jump off your chair. Please, no. And then I clicked on Maya Nigel Hoskins' byline so I could get a little bit deeper into who this deep, influential, provocative intellect. Exactly. "I am like a writer, activist, and college professor who teaches graduate-level courses in counseling. I earned my PhD in counselor education and clinical supervision. And I give keynote speeches and facilitate cultural consciousness seminars and training to staff, students, and faculty at both private and public businesses, K-12 schools, and universities on topics related to oppression, difference, and mental health." Okay, so I don't even want to begin to try to deconstruct the grammatical maelstrom that statement. Anyway, I'm not going to quote from the article. I appreciate the efforts of the Alaska Bureau to raise and elevate my consciousness to somewhere close to that of Maya Nigel Hoskins, but I'll just pass for right now. And I know that the Alaska Bureau just sent that in order to make me miserable for just a moment so that I could, in turn, pass that along to you. We'll be right back. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, as you, it's already been well established. Probably no need to repeat that. The Alaska Bureau also sent me a video of a teacher slapping a student across the face. I'll link to the video, and you judge for yourself. I personally believe that every boy at some point needs to be struck in the face unexpectedly while practicing bad behavior. I do. I call it planting a seed of humility in the young man's mind. Yes. Anyway, I didn't hear what the kid said. I don't know what the kid did. And I'll link to it. You can judge for yourself. It's a middle school teacher smacks middle school student across the face in the hallway. All right. Meanwhile, while all that's going on, and America entertains itself to death with TikTok, the Chinese are taking over the Pacific Ocean. But don't worry about it. It's not really that big a deal, the Pacific. It's, you know, it's an ocean. It's a body of water out there and, you know, navies and things like that. The Solomon Islands has announced, the government there in the Solomon Islands has announced that they have a new security arrangement with China, a framework agreement between China and the government of the Solomon Islands. And according to Gatestone Online, I'm sorry, Gatestone Institute, where I got this story, this highlights a disturbing trend. China, after years of persistent commercial, diplomatic, and military efforts, is taking over the Pacific. Soon, the People's Liberation Army will be within striking distance of Hawaii. But everyone in Hawaii will be fine because they can hide behind Maisie Hirono and wear their masks, and it'll be okay. Be just fine. Besides, China doesn't have to invade Hawaii. They'll just bribe and take over the government there. In fact, I think they maybe already have. Speaking of all that, the CIA director is working for the Chinese government. I know. That's ridiculous, Doug. That's crazy. That's some kind of... You're a nutty conspiracy theorist. From the Politics File, Central Intelligence Agency Director Bill Burns was once the president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. That was back in 2015 when Carnegie had a longstanding relationship with the China United States Exchange Foundation, which is an arm of the Chinese Communist Party, a propaganda and influence peddling arm. Well, and Bill Burns was confirmed as the director of the CIA because he said that, well, of course, while he was there, he ended that relationship. Yes, certainly didn't want to have anything to do with working with the Chinese Communist Party's intel operation that's obviously designed to co-opt and bribe and blackmail as many people as possible in the United States government so as to exercise influence and control over the United States government, eventually achieving conquest. He would have nothing to do with anything at all to do with anything to do with that. And so the Senate and the House and the legislators, all they confirmed Bill Burns as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, where he now sits. Oddly, though, Carnegie appears to have continued to accept funds and collaborate with the Chinese Communist Party and their intel operation, CUSEF. They kept doing it during his tenure and recently released a research paper in partnership with CUSEF in March of 2022. How long ago was that? That was last month. So it appears that Director Bill Burns, director of our Central Intelligence Agency, lied to the government in order to secure a high position of power in the intelligence community. And he's actually in cahoots with the Chinese communists. The head of the CIA apparently has been bought and paid for by the Red Chinese and is working with officials in our government to betray America to her enemies. But it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just download another video over there on TikTok. Entertain yourselves. So, and listen to this. Listen to this as if to put a punctuation, not a punctuation, what's an exclamation point. The U.S. Supreme Court The same United States Supreme Court that refused to hear cases filed by several states in regards to the stolen election in 2020, the same United States Supreme Court has just announced that it will decide the copyright fight over an Andy Warhol painting of the aforementioned prince who played all the instruments. So, yes, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear cases regarding allegations that an election was stolen and the entire system of our government was undermined. But they are going to hear the case of whether or not Andy Warhol violated someone's copyright when he painted a picture of a photograph of a pop star. Okay. You know, a generation more concerned with entertaining themselves than actually governing must by necessity fall. And so it shall, sadly. Sad to watch. Now, speaking of the stolen election, we haven't talked much about the stolen election because, hey, it was stolen fair and square. They got away with it. You know, there's not much you can say, right? Well, this is from the humiliation file. Humiliation, by the way, the Marxist humiliation regime forces you to repeat obvious lies over and over and over again. Until you no longer are able to be certain of anything in your own mind, and therefore you become manipulated, manipulatable, easy putty in the hands of diabolical governing officials, hell-bent on lording it over you for the rest of your life. And that's what the 2020 election is. It's one long humiliation exercise. A recent peer-reviewed study published in the journal Public Choice by economist John Lott Jr. has noted at least 250,000 excess votes for Joe Biden in the 2020 election. Yes. And according to this peer-reviewed study, the excess voting may challenge or explain Biden's margin of victory in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Shocking. Those were the states that tipped the election in favor of the Manchurian candidate. Anyway, as at least 250,000 excess votes, as many as 368,000. And the Manchurian candidate carried all of those states combined by a total of about 300,000 votes. In Michigan, the gap was only about 160,000 votes. And here we've got enough votes to swing an election? No way. A peer-reviewed study that appears to be well done and anyway, this fellow, Mr. Lott, John Lott Jr., runs the Crime Prevention Research Center, and he says that his report is not meant to overturn the 2020 election, but merely to reinforce the need for changes to voter ID and absentee voting and provisional ballot. We just need a tweak around the edges to make sure that democracy is preserved. In the study, Lott reviewed voter registration rolls, actual in-person vote counts, absentee voting, and provisional ballots in counties where fraud has been alleged. He compared those counts to neighboring counties, arguing that the percentages should be similar. But shazam, they weren't similar. In fact, he found major differences. How major? Well, just enough, oddly enough. But let's not talk about overturning an election. After all, that's too sacred to even... we go from there into the murder-suicide file, which takes us to Oregon, where both murder and suicide are popular. The Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Medical Board have both agreed to stop enforcing the residency requirement, allowing terminally ill people to receive lethal medication. Which, lethal medication, that's an interesting term. It's as if killing is, that's the equivalent of healing. You know, healing, killing, you know. Anyway, it used to be that you had to live in Oregon to kill yourself, to have your doctor kill you. But that was getting in the way of so many deaths, or healings, depending on how you want to look at it. that the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Medical Board have just said, you know what, let's just, since we're already killing people, let's get rid of these silly rules around all of that. And so now you can just dial in virtually via Zoom and talk to your doctor, and he'll send you some lethal medication. The medical assisted suicide, they call it. Yeah. So no more residency requirements for medically assisted suicide, which is a very new speakian term. Assisted suicide, by the way, that's a non sequitur. I mean, look up the title of look up the definition of suicide, and it's not supposed to involve other people, because that would be, well, there's another word for that. But I don't want to confuse anybody, so let's just move on. We have a quote here from Kevin, an attorney, who works with a group called Compassion and Choices, which kills people. Or heals them, I mean, depending on how you want to look at it. Kevin says, this requirement was both discriminatory and profoundly unfair to dying patients at the most critical time of their life. Like right when we were getting ready to kill them. That's like the most critical time. And this residency rule was discriminatory and profoundly unfair. Not to be outdone by the diabolical evil and wickedness of the lawyer there in Oregon, who helps to arrange the murder of people. We have the spokeswoman for National Right to Life. Why? Well, because there are no men left there. There are no men left in the household of Sarah Palin. There are no men left at the National Right to Life. There's no right to life at the National Right to Life. And here's what a spokeswoman, Laura, at National Right to Life had to say. She warned that without a residency requirement, Oregon risks becoming the nation's assisted suicide tourism capital. We need that residency requirement, says the Right to Life people. So National Right to Life apparently wants to advocate for the regulation of suicide. Assisted suicide, which could be called murder since it involves other people. They want to regulate that in a manner similar to the way they advocate for the regulation of child killing. Yes, just give National Right to Life, give them the skim on the fundraising side, you know, that they get. They get to make the official press statement like they did here. That way they can insert that into their fundraising letters to give their fundraising letters the flavor of relevancy. They will mildly object to various procedural points of how you violate the right to life. And they'll raise money on that, but they won't actually do anything to stop anyone from actually violating the right to life. Worldview, thank you. Boys, put those guitars away. We've got to get back to the show here, where we go into the war file, where Vladimir Zelensky says that one way to stop the Russian invasion is to go green. That's right. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky addressed the Danish parliament last week, where he said, quote, long before this war, it was clear that humanity should reduce its use of fossil fuels, unquote. Okay. He went on to say that coal and oil cause huge damage to the environment and to our planet. Green energy is the logical and just answer to this challenge, he said, as the Russians are actually shelling and bombing and as he's asking for jet fighters that burn fossil fuels so that he can fight the Russians. An OQ report notes that this speech is very similar to a speech that Zelensky gave in Davos in 2020. That was before the Russian invasion, that contained the same green rhetoric. So Zelensky has been advocating for this alliance of environmental wackos and sex perverts that has been on the march for at least 50 years, marching from Berlin eastward, marching eastward with only a slight pushback in Eastern Europe, where some of the heterosexual normal people and the Orthodox Church there has said nyet to this. This eventually had to come to war. Eventually. This was not an unprovoked attack on Ukraine. This has been building for quite some time. And Zelensky is a tool of the leftist pervert maniacs who are hell-bent on destroying what's left of Western civilization. And the scary thing is that it's fallen to the Russians. The Russians are the ones left defending Western civilization. That can't end well. I mean, how embarrassing is that? Now, we get to the story of the week that has not been covered by anyone, almost anyone. And that is Congressman Madison Cawthorn. Sounds like a novel. Congressman Madison Cawthorn was on a podcast, and he brought up rampant corruption in Washington, D.C. This is according to the reporters over at Summit News. And he basically said that he's been invited to... I don't even want to get into what he's talking about here. Have you heard about this? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. You haven't heard about this. Basically, he's been invited to sex parties and offered cocaine. Shocking, right? That anything like that would be going on in Washington, D.C. Uh-huh. He says, you're around all these people and a lot of these people that I've looked up to my whole life. And then all of a sudden you get invited to, hey, we're having a get together at one of our houses. You should come over. And then he realizes what they're inviting him to. And he says on the podcast, what did you just ask me to come to? He says, then you realize they're asking you to. Well, I don't want to get into it. I don't have to be too explicit here. Anyway, he says some of the same lawmakers who act like they're leading a movement to fight the opioid addiction and the drug problem, he said they're doing drugs and having these parties, and they've invited him to them.
No way.
That's what he says.
No way.
Uh-huh. He went on to say that lawmakers get bullied into making compromises because powerful entities get leverage on them by collecting and weaponizing dirt on their personal lives. No way! There's no way that happens. Cawthorn described Washington, D.C. as a pit of vipers and says he's only there for a quick purpose of serving his constituents. Okay, first of all, Mr. Cawthorn, I have long maintained that anyone who desires such an office should not be allowed to have it. So you, sir, are unqualified, in my opinion, or you have disqualified yourself. Having sought such an office, you have disqualified yourself from being deserving of governmental authority. And I want to warn you, Mr. Cawthorn. Is that his first name? Madison Cawthorn. He has two last names. That's the problem. He'll be corrupted soon enough if he doesn't get himself out of there. Anyway, how do we know that this story is likely true? How do we know that? Well, first of all, if a junior congressman comes to Washington and makes wild allegations about parties and drugs and blackmail, you would think that any serious politician in Washington would simply dismiss it as the right-wing kook. Right, this young congressman, they wouldn't even acknowledge this guy exists. He's on a podcast with 224 listeners, for crying out loud. Who cares what Junior says? from the back bench there in the Congress. Well, within 48 hours of this story breaking, as little as it broke, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy issued a statement reprimanding Representative Madison Cawthorn, said that he had, quote, lost confidence, unquote, in the junior congressman after comments regarding parties and drug use and all this outlandish, crazy, insane thing. This should never, I've lost confidence in this young man. Mr. McCarthy says, he's had a sit down talk with Mr. Cawthorn, set the young man straight.
What is it? And, that's what he asked.
McCarthy was asking for directions. actually, McCarthy says there's a lot of different things that can happen in Washington, but Mr. Cawthorn has lost my trust, and he's going to have to earn it back. Okay, I don't even want to get into that. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says that Cawthorn has a lot of members very upset, unquote. Uh-huh. McCarthy says it's just so frustrating. There's no evidence behind his statements. Well, if there were no evidence behind his statements, Mr. McCarthy, why are you so upset about it? Why does he have members very upset? If it's just the rantings of a junior congressman who doesn't know anything. The folks over at Newsmax note that less than 2 weeks ago, the same leader, McCarthy, criticized Cawthorn for calling President Vladimir Zelensky a thug. So Cawthorn calls Vladimir Zelensky a thug. Why? Because Vladimir Zelensky's a thug. He's an Eastern European oligarch like all the rest in Ukraine and Russia and half those countries over there, which are run by criminal entities. And so Cawthorn merely notes that Zelensky's a thug like all the rest, and McCarthy's offended. And now McCarthy's extremely offended that Cawthorn has had the audacity to make claims with no evidence. That has us very upset, and he'll have to earn our trust back. And got a lot of members very upset about these unfounded allegations with absolutely no evidence at all. Okay, so there we have that. We'll move on from that. Now, from the Just a System file, let's talk about prominent politicians. One prominent politician, he was recently arrested, Elliot Coulter, a 75-year-old man. Now, this is not your grandma's grandpa, I'll tell you that. He was arrested, two Fridays ago for four counts of possession of explicit material involving children younger than 12. Let's just leave it at that. So there's no way any of these politicians are involved in any of this kind of stuff that Cawthorn's talking about. That kid's crazy. Well, this guy's been arrested. He's a wealthy environmental lawyer, which means he got rich in an industry that shouldn't even exist. Right? And in times past, at best, he would be an assistant to the general manager of a small shop somewhere, but instead he's a multimillionaire environmental lawyer who got busted with child pornography on his computer. And since he's a multimillionaire, they set a $50,000 bail and he was out in less than 24 hours. So he's back out on the street. Okay. So this upsets me. And now not only has this prominent politician, Elliot Coulter, been arrested and now released on bail money that he found in the ashtray of his limousine. Now a judge has issued an order to keep secret the list of evidence against his fellow lawyer. The judge is now going to keep secret what they found on the other lawyer's computer. Multimillionaire sex pervert Elliot Coulter, busted with child pornography on his computer, is said to be requesting that Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson preside in the case, if at all possible. Ketanji Brown Jackson Gray, as we call her here at the Weekly Worldview, because It's never black and white with Ketanji Brown Jackson when it comes to child abuse. There's only shades of gray. So we're adding another last name to Ketanji Brown Jackson. She will now be known as Ketanji Brown Jackson Gray going forward here on the Weekly Worldview. We'll see if she's involved in the case of these wild, insane allegations. The only evidence we have are the pictures that were on his computer, of which Kevin McCarthy is not aware of anything at all to do with any of that. Of course not. We move now to reason number 1,946 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for that, we go to Redmond, Washington, where Andrew Hammond was arrested as part of an undercover operation. Law enforcement was using decoys on social media, and they nabbed this fourth grade teacher. He's been charged with attempted rape of a child. And for some reason, they've set bail. So they've set bail at $100,000. A fourth grade teacher! Law enforcement began interacting with Hammond back in October, and for some reason, they drugged this out for 4 months, and the fourth grade teacher, reason number 1,946 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, the fourth grade teacher might be a child molester. Might be caught up in a dragnet sting of. Anyway, the principal there at the school has issued a statement. Mm-hmm. Principal Erica says, I want you to know that we have no information about any illegal activity occurring at school. Mr. Hammond is on administrative leave. Unquote. First note to the principal: you don't have to start out a statement with the phrase "I want you to know." So you're making a statement, so it goes without saying that you want us to know something. So what you're really saying when you say that is, I think you're all idiots. That's what that actually means. So when she says, I want you to know, that means I think you're all idiots. We have no evidence that anything occurred on school grounds. The teacher is on administrative leave. Now you get back to your sports and pornography and leave us alone. Reason number 1,946 to get or keep them out. Let's see, do we want to go to the die-in now? Yes, from the widespread brain damage file, students at American University have recently been released from their mask mandate, and in response, they're protesting. And yes, they held a die-in. Students held a die-in, led by a sophomore there. They organized a rally in support of the mask mandate, demanding the mask mandate come back. That's right. The leader is this is reason number 8,000 to keep or get your kids out of the college, American University. The sophomore who led the protest to demand the masks be put back on their faces there is leader. Let's see, the disabled student union treasurer, Laura. She said she's tired of being treated as a commodity. I cannot learn. I cannot grow if I'm in my dorm room scared for my life. So when the mask came off, Laura became scared for her life. My discomfort of wearing a mask for an hour and 15 minutes is outweighed. It should be outweighed by the health and safety of everyone. Well, she will keep wearing her mask. This is why this is in the widespread brain damage file. This kid may never come back from this. She says she can take a break from wearing her masks, but her friends can't take a break from being immunocompromised. So we have students in the university hiding in their dorm rooms, terrified to leave without a mask. So widespread brain damage from which an entire generation may never return. And so that takes us into the decline and fall file, where the Daily Wire, are you guys familiar with the Daily Wire? They do podcasts. The Daily Wire is a somewhat conservative, sometimes conservative podcasting organization, news organization. I like some of the folks over at the Daily Wire. I like the guy with the beard who's always got the deadpan when he goes on Tucker. I forget his name, but he's pretty good. And then the little Jewish guy who talks at like 900 miles an hour, I like him all right. Knowles, the Catholic guy, I like him all right. Anyway, I like these fellas all right. But anyway, the Daily Wire has announced that they're launching DW Kids, an alternative to woke children's programming in entertainment. Yes, they're announcing it as a rival to Disney. They're going to invest $100 million over the next 3 years to create children's content to entertain children as an alternative to Disney. And the head of the Daily Wire referenced leaked footage from a recent Disney meeting where Disney officials just talked about their gay agenda. Just outright, yes, they have a gay agenda, and yes, and the head of the Daily Wire says this is a problem when you're talking about very small children. Well, here's the thing, Chris Rufo over there, who I like. Chris, this isn't just a problem with very small children. This is a problem with anyone. This mainstreaming of sexual perversion and immorality is dangerous for adults and women and children and men and teenagers and kids and everybody. And if you don't know that we need to draw the line there, then I don't think I can trust you with creating content for my children. So although I appreciate that your heart's in the right place and you're upset that Disney is obviously full on for queering everything they can queer, I can appreciate that you're against all that. But I'm just not sure this is the way it should be done. I mean, instead of calling for the enforcement of criminal laws, which is what you should be doing, Mr. Rufo. This stuff is a crime. Mainstreaming of sexual perversion and corruption is criminal. But he doesn't know to call for the enforcement of criminal laws against all this stuff. Let's instead let's compete with the full-on sex assault of pervert adults upon children with well, let's just get all the soft and the lazy over entertained to we'll start a rival, and we'll get all the soft and lazy and overly entertained to be somewhat disturbed about all this, and we will suggest that we entertain our children differently. And I would just say, Mr. Boring, that maybe the whole entertainment obsession is the problem. Maybe we're obsessed with entertaining our kids a bit too much. Maybe we shouldn't focus on just entertaining the kids. Maybe we need to focus it once again on child rearing and raising our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.